Church, it is good to be with you this morning. I have had the privilege of standing in this pulpit two other times, but this is the first time that I've been able to be here as one of you, as somebody who normally sits out there during regular Sunday worship, and it feels good. It feels good to be here with you now in this space and in that way. And it feels good especially because, as Pastor Daniel has mentioned, this past week was a busy one in the world of the United Methodist Church, in this part of the world. It was annual conference, and I know that that's something that it's really very possible not to fully understand even what it is, even if you've been going to Methodist Church your whole life. So just as a little bit of Methodist 101, the basic body of the Methodist Church is not the individual churches, like it might be in the Baptist Church. The basic body is the annual conference, which is basically a big geographic designation of all the churches in a particular area. So for us, it's the northern half of California and almost all of Nevada. And so anything that happens, any rules that are made, anything that is officially decided has to be decided on by that body. And so we all gather once a year, and we worship, and we debate, and we sit and eat and drink together, and it is a big, busy week where we don't sleep much, and we process a lot. I see some nodding heads in the congregation from those who have been there. And so, it has been a weary land, and it is good to be home this morning. And this year was, it was a little bit different because we have a new bishop, as you may know. And with new bishops come new ways of doing things and come new expectations. And so there was a lot of, I think the word that is used in the business world is churn. There was a lot of churn kind of going into this. What would it be like? What were the expectations? There were memos that went out that dress was to be different and things were going to be different. And the theme was, as Pastor Daniel has said really beautifully, testify to love, your story matters. And we experienced that. We experienced stories. But I will be honest and tell you that the possible theme that was going around among some others who had received the memo that we weren't supposed to wear jeans anymore and received the memo that maybe we needed to be in session a little bit more than we had before, that the theme, in fact, really was Crackdown 2017. and we believed it. Just a quick story. A couple of friends and I were sitting and having breakfast. Session had just begun, but it was, you know, we were sitting finishing our coffee and our bagels, and somebody ran through and said, they're taking roll. And so, I mean, I want to tell you that it was like in a cartoon where they pop up and then run, and like, you know, things are left hanging in the air. We jumped up, we ran down the escalator, we got in there, we found out it was a total joke. Nobody was safe, but we believed it. And we believed it because we hadn't all quite settled in together yet, right? The new bishop is learning who we are, is learning how we work, what is special and important and good about who we are. And we are learning about the bishop and what is special and important and good about who she is. But those things haven't all really come into conversation yet. And so I think, honestly, in the sum of it all, the theme of the week was wrestling. It was wrestling with who we are as a people and what it means to now be under this new leadership. And what would that mean about who we then needed to be? And could we trust her to lead us? Could we trust her to love us? And in the text this morning, the text from Deuteronomy, the continuation of of the Exodus story, I can just imagine that the Israelites are really in that same place. You know, they have been on this journey for a long time. And there has been this person who has been faithfully guiding them along the way. What does it mean now that it's not going to be Moses anymore? who's this new guy exactly? We know about him, but what does it mean that he's now going to be leading us? What will he expect of us? What will he give back to us? How do we interact with him? What's going to change? I mean, that comes down to really the question, what's going to change in my life? How is this going to impact it? Again, I come back to the thought that they have really been on this journey for a long time. This journey that could have taken, I believe Pastor Kathy said this in maybe the introduction to this sermon series, but it's worth repeating. This journey that could have taken about 2 weeks if it had been this direct route on foot takes over 40 years. They have been in process for a while. And you know, I'm realizing that as a child, hearing this story, the image that I always had for them was that, you know, they're going through this long journey, this dusty land, this arduous path, and then in the distance, there's the promised land. And I always sort of see them going over this mountain, and then there's this valley below them that somehow is green and lush and welcoming and vacant and ready for them to just move in. Because that sounds like the promised land. The land of milk and honey, where all that you need flows and is ready for you. I keep expecting for their transition to end and for them to get to that destination. And it turns out it doesn't quite work that way. So in our text for this morning, we hear Moses telling them, I'm not going with you. This new guy is. And in case you hadn't heard it before, it's not a vacant land that's just sitting there welcome for us. There are folks that are there already. And there's going to be conflict in this transition. We're not done transitioning yet. We're going to get there, but we're not going to be able to just settle in yet. And I mean, my heart just goes out to them, right? Like, they have been doing so much. You have to imagine them saying, like, are we there yet? Can we just be there? We are tired. Maybe life doesn't work that way. Because the truth is, when they get there, then the next piece of the story, spoiler alert for all of you who are going to go home and read up on this immediately, but they get there and then it's about conquest. And it's about battles and needing to claim this land. And it never fully happens. And not to simplify or fast forward through too much of the Old Testament, but then it never really does fully happen. The Israelites continue to struggle with, can we just land in a place and it be ours and us be settled and peaceful and rest? It never fully happens. Leading up to even the place where we read about in Acts, where the disciples ask Jesus, are you not now going to lead us into the kingdom? Are you not going to restore the kingdom of Israel now? Because the expectation the whole time has been that the Messiah would come and then lead the glorious revolution to complete what was begun at that moment. And of course, we know in our belief, that's not what the Messiah was. The Messiah turned all of that on its head and said, We are not a people of war. We are a people who turn the other cheek. But in that moment, Jesus just says, yep, it's not for you to know right now. That is not at your pay grade. And you need to go about the work of being here now. They had to be reeling from these transitions. I mean, just to think about it. They have lost Jesus. They have watched him be crucified. He has come back, miraculously. And this expectation that, my God, this miracle just happened, surely now this is going to usher in the kingdom, and then it doesn't, and they lose him again much sooner than they would have expected. They have to just be reeling. How to process that? That is a lot for a human psyche to undertake. These are very difficult spaces that the Israelites and that the disciples are in. These spaces that are unknown. They thought they were defined. They were in a place where they sort of knew the rules. They knew what was going on. And then that changed. And they don't really know exactly what's coming next. It is undefined. Maybe they have a little bit of an idea. They know this guy's name is Joshua. They know that Jesus is still there somewhere and what their job is going forward, but it hasn't been lived yet. There's a word for this type of space. It's called liminal. The liminal space is that which exists between the thresholds. You've left one room, but you've not yet entered the other, and you stand in the midst of this undefined space where great anxiety can occur. As people, we tend to like, even those of us who are more spontaneous and really like expansion, we still, on some level, we like knowing kind of where the boundaries are. We kind of like knowing what the container is, even if what we want to do is push against it. And in the liminal space, there's not much of that. But what that means is there's a whole lot of possibility. There is a whole lot of potential that is undefined. And it's hard to hold that. It's hard to hold that within ourselves. It's hard to actualize that, to know, okay, what do we do? Where do we go? What's the next thing? There are a lot of reactions that I could imagine and understand in response to the kind of repetitive and exhaustive nature of these stories of transition. I could imagine just a sense of frustration if you put yourself in their shoes. And the truth is, we don't have to work too hard at that this morning. We are a people in transition. I could imagine a sense of exhaustion, a sense of that familiar feeling of, again, aren't we there yet? Can't we be where we want to go? I could imagine a sense of distancing, even, because that's sort of protective, right? Well, that's their story, and that was a long time ago. It's not me. I'm in a pretty good place. I'm pretty settled. I know what's going on in my life. But if we can push those reactions to the side for a moment and hold space just to ask, what is the point? What is the point of this struggle? What is the point of these stories, other than just to advance the plot of the narrative in the Bible? What is the point? I'm going to say that I don't think the point was Moses. And I don't think the point was Joshua. I don't think the point was the transfer of leadership. In truth, I don't even think the point was Jesus. Because Jesus didn't come for Jesus' sake. Jesus came for us. Jesus came for those who were living then. Jesus came for those who would live beyond Jesus. Jesus came for those who would come well after. That is true for each of us individually. But I also noticed that in these stories of transition and upheaval and recreation, there's not a point where it talks about the importance of each individual person going through that. What it talks about is community. The point of this is the community. It is about the community, the gathered body, the folks who were brought along, who lived through the trials, who grew and loved and fought and messed up again, and then grew some more together. It is about those people. It is about us. And I can say, within the family of this church that who are in the midst of transition, that I will recognize there are some challenging things about our larger community, about the community of the United Methodist Church. And one of them is that sometimes we have pastors moved when we didn't ask for it to happen. Sometimes we have transitions that are not of our desire or making. But I want to say, too, that there is at least one thing that our larger church system gets right in that same way, and that is that it is not about the pastor.
as an aside, sometimes the pastors wish that it could be, because we fall in love with y'all. We love the communities that we come to. We want to stay sometimes. I think we know stories that are like that. But the truth is, it's not about the pastor, it's about us. It's about the congregation. Pastors come and go, whether they be beloved or bedeviled, and their transience continues to highlight the fact that at the heart and meaning of our church is the life of the congregation. When Bill and I joined this congregation earlier this year, it was for a lot of reasons. We live a half a mile away from Los Altos United Methodist Church. We drive in every Sunday. And we will continue coming here because of you, because of the feeling of community that is in this place, that I experienced even the first time that I came to preach here before I was a member of this body, because of the beautiful plurality of faces that I see when I look out, because of the sincerity of the hearts that we have experienced when we have been in worship with you, because of the wonderful experience that our little boys have over in Sunday school. We're going to miss Kathy, and there's no way to get around that. But we will be here because we are still us. This is still the body, and this is why we come. Now, this is not to undermine or understate the importance of leadership, of pastors. We have to have a starting place as people. We have to have a place to begin. Almighty love, vast grace, divine absolution, sanctification, these are glorious and wonderful theological concepts that as human beings, we are simply not built to walk right up to and swallow whole. We wouldn't begin to know how to do that. We need a place to begin. And that place is usually a person. A loving face that we feel safe with. An interpretive voice that we find compelling and accessible. And so we have pastors. But we have pastors who are tasked with creating community. And even when they then come into a community that's been formed, to continue to create that community. And so then there are more faces and voices and hands that we hope are very welcoming and accessible and approachable to others. And once we find a combination of those things, of the pastor and this community that fit together and they feel good and it works, we fall into the place where we might begin to feel like, okay, good, that's it. We're here. We've got it. We've got what we need. We've finished that journey. But, as we know, we're not gathered for our own sakes. We are gathered as the body of Christ, with Jesus as its beating heart. Our community is built around the story and the person and the ongoing life of Jesus. And forgetting that would be like a hand or a leg, believing itself to be completely independent of the heart, forgetting that the blood coursing through it, keeping it alive, comes from that central vital organ. The stories of Jesus are the lifeblood flowing through any healthy and vital community of faith, which I experience in this one. The stories of liberation, forgiveness, engagement, they show us the way that we are meant to give and live life. And the modeling that we see in the Jesus community of gathering and listening and eating and taking time to pray, they teach us how to nourish ourselves for that work and the journey. Again, as a community. And the death, the final release of Jesus from this world, endlessly points to the fact that there is love greater than we can imagine that surrounds us. To the deep truth that we are called to love each other and the hope that God has for this world even more than we are called to love our own lives. And that, in fact, salvation has an awful lot to do with the ways in which we are generous with each other and the ways in which we receive generosity from others. So it starts with the pastor who forms the community, who gathers to think about and relate to and grow closer to Jesus. And surely that is enough, right? We're there. Marcus Borg, a contemporary theologian, once gave a talk that I was able to attend, that I was grateful for, in which he gave, I think, what's a helpful illustration to that, as an answer to that question. So he attended a talk where an astronomer was telling all about the moon, and he was teaching the crowd about the characteristics of the moon and the nature of the moon and all kinds of interesting and wonderful facts that made people feel like they knew it more and they understood it more. And at one point, he was pointing up to the moon. This was a night lecture and they were outside. And he's pointing up to the moon and telling them all about it. And Borg realized, what am I supposed to be looking at? Is it the finger that's pointing up, or is it the moon? And he realized that is the relationship with Jesus and God. We are not called to be looking at the finger and stop there. We do that as the bridge, as we then learn about the moon, as we then learn about God. That Jesus is that teacher, that bridge that leads us, that leads our eyes up to where we rest. That we rest in the love of our Creator, that we rest in the love of our first and most fundamental relationship throughout our lives. And that everything that existed in the Jesus story was about bringing us back to that relationship, to right relationship with God, and how to live in community, how to live in God's community, to live out the dreams and hopes that God might have for us. God is the eternal, the one who goes before us and comes after us, the one who is continually loving and nourishing us, extending grace, luring us towards the directions that God might dream we would go. In the midst of transient life, God abides, and as the winds and tides shift, God flows with us. This is a hard Sunday. Kathy left last week, and it is hard to say goodbye. Our new pastor is coming soon, and it can be hard to say hello. It can be hard to pick up and begin a relationship again. And in between, we're here today, the gathered body, the church, the people on the road, making their way towards the destination that may be undefined. This is the Sunday of holding our breath, of feeling the absence, and of waiting and wondering and hoping. And it is in times like these that it is good to have ancestors in faith, those who have walked this road and left a story behind like echoes through a mountain pass that might lead us forward over the rocky parts. So once again, let us hear the call that they have left for us. Just a few verses from what we read this morning. The Lord your God will cross over before you. The Lord will be there wherever it is that we are going. Be strong and bold. Have no fear or dread, because it is the Lord your God who goes with you, who will not fail or forsake you. We are in the midst of change. We may be feeling the loss of presence, but we are not alone and never will be. Thanks be to God. Amen.